Hello. It's 7 p.m. on the second Thursday of the month here on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. And that means it's time for another installment of Movies on the Radio. Movies on the Radio is a monthly simulcast accompanying the Philmont Media Project's outdoor film screening series, Sidewalk Cinema, at 100 Main Street in Philmont, New York. My name's Heath, and you're tuned in to our monthly...
The following recording comes to you from Anthology Film Archives in New York City.
Welcome to Arts Forum. I'm P. Adam Sidney, discussing the avant-garde film. And this evening, my guest is the very well-known American independent filmmaker Kenneth Anger, the maker of Fireworks, Scorpio Rising, Lucifer Rising, and several other films, and the author of Hollywood Babylon, a book which has recently been translated. In fact, just this week, is published in America for the first time. It's a spectacularly illustrated book, a brilliant analysis of the myth of the scandal in Hollywood. And tonight we'll be talking with Kenneth Anger about his book and about his films. Kenneth, the Hollywood Babylon has a long history. It's famous as a book even before it becomes really available in America. Would you like to tell us about its origins and history?
Well, I suppose its origins really go back to the Beverly Hills High School corridors, where I was a great ear for gossip, more absorbing it than repeating it. And I've been collecting clippings and my own notebooks on various personalities in Hollywood, anecdotes for many years. And finally, these first came into public print in France in 1957. There were a series of articles in Cahiers du Cinéma. And that was actually the origin of Hollywood Babylon. And these were seen by my French publisher, Jean-Jacques Pauvert, and he thought they'd be a good basis for a book, which is what I was hoping for.
And this book first appeared in France when?
In 1959.
It was a, if I recall, a rather lavishly produced book in a series of books on the history of eroticism and so on, was it not?
Yes, it was in the same format as the books by Lo Duca called The Bibliothèque du Cinéma and the History of Eroticism in Films.
Did they have a relatively wide circulation in France?
Yes, they did.
Or they were?
And some trouble with the censors of that period for some of them. But they had to be kept out of the window, as I recall.
Out of the windows of the bookstores?
Yeah, very peculiar laws in France.
It's a book then that had a certain French reputation, and now we see for the first time in the United States a legitimate edition. There had been a fly-by-night pirated edition.
Yes, 10 years ago, while I was living in England, a pirate brought out a... paperback of Hollywood Babylon with my name on it, and it before I could get the thing stopped through legal action, several, I guess they say nearly 2 million copies were sold, but it was stopped.
Because this is an extraordinary amount of sale when you consider that the book wasn't, I may be wrong, but it wasn't distributed in major bookstores at the time.
It was in all the newsstands.
Yeah, it was on a newsstand level.
And selling for a dollar. And it was finally stopped, and now I hope you can't find it anywhere anymore.
Well, I think it is, as far as I can tell, those had dried up several years ago.
Oh, yes, well.
But the new edition of Hollywood Babylon is published by Straight Arrow Press, Which is located in California, is it not?
San Francisco. It's the book division of Rolling Stone magazine.
And it, in a sumptuous hardcover edition, which is the only edition available,
yes.
It is $14.95, and it's available in all the major New York bookstores today, is it not?
Yes, it just, it's been out a few days now. It's uh-huh. just published.
How would you describe the book?
My baby.
It follows a primarily chronological model. It begins with the origins of Hollywood, and in a way, one might say that it's a kind of underground history of the whole nature of the star system in Hollywood.
Yes, well, it was a industry that exploited personality, and since it had very eccentric and extraordinary personalities involved in the work of making films, these various scandals seemed to explode periodically. It seemed to be a kind of like part of the distillation process. You had to have an explosion every now and then. And in the 20s, they were happening every year. There was just a series of them. You could count on your scandal of the year. And now, of course, some things that were scandalous then, like the divorce of Mary Pickford and remarrying Douglas Fairbanks and his divorce. I mean, nowadays, divorce doesn't rank as a scandal, but then it did. And of course, so it is also a picture of changing mores.
And so, therefore, the stories as recounted and analyzed in the book are not basically unknown stories, or weren't unknown in the day. They weren't secrets, as it were, but were
far from being secret. They were headline fodder for months, most of them. But I have uncovered aspects on most of the stories that never reached public print through interviews with survivors and other means.
Is there an example of your research you might? Well, what was the hardest to uncover? What were the...
Well, whether, for instance, the persistent rumor that William Randolph Hearst had been involved in a shooting that resulted in the death of Thomas Ince on Hearst's yacht. Now, this is such a persistent rumor that where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, there's just too much going, and it's unkillable.
Well, even Hearst himself couldn't quash that?
No, even Hearst couldn't. Well, he kept it out of the print. He kept it out of it. Never, and even his rival papers never dared print the story as such. But I've talked with a survivor of that weekend who was on the yacht, the Oneida, and she lives in New York, and she was an actress at MGM, and she asked that I not repeat her name, but she says she saw the bullet hole in the head of Mr. Ince, and that it did happen. It was, you can say, an accident insofar that Hearst was not aiming for the head of Thomas Ince, he was aiming for the head of Charles Chaplin.
Do you think if he had killed Charlie Chaplin, it certainly would have been much harder to bury a story of that scope? And well, Chaplin at the time must have been the most famous personality in America.
Ince was just as important as Chaplin at the time. I mean, as far as a Hollywood personality. I mean, he was the head of the Ince Studios and a producer and director of note. He was the father of the Western. And, but as in other cases, in other branches of business, not necessarily show business, money spoke very loud, and the police quieted down.
This seems to be harder and harder to do as time went on. I mean, one of the names that comes up in the revised new edition of your book, as it's now on the stands, is that of Noguchi, the coroner of. Of Los Angeles,
Thomas Noguchi,
who has indeed become quite well known for his testimonies and everything from the Bobby Kennedy assassination to the Sharon Tate murders, Marilyn Monroe's case. Do you think that it'd be as easy to? Is there the same kind of scandal hushed up these days as in a way that it might have been with hers? It seems impossible to me now.
I think it would be more difficult today. But we may find out in a few years that something in the death of Marilyn Monroe has been hushed up. I still go for suicide because she was very much on a self-destructive trip. That was obvious. But there is a case to be made that she was murdered. But I don't go into that in my book because I don't have any proof of it. But in a few years, we may find that would be extraordinary if it did come out that there was something there that had been completely hushed up. Then we'd have our answer.
One gets the impression, reading the book, that you feel as though an era has definitively ended.
Oh, definitely.
In terms of the Hollywood star.
It's what I call Hollywood. When Hollywood was Hollywood, it was a legendary place, and it was something that sparked off people's dreams and aspirations. And now they talk of the industry, and the name Hollywood simply does not have that legendary connotation. It certainly doesn't for me, and I don't think it's there. I've been out there looking for it, and it's just not there anymore.
Is it just Hollywood, or is it the movies in general?
It's the movies. It's maybe the America's degree of sophistication, in a sense. Maybe celebrities are, in a sense, overexposed these days with television and talk shows and other.
Yes, well, I in a way, now that you mention television, it suddenly occurs to me that television figures have never been the kind of source of enormous scandal that Hollywood thrived on for so long.
They've never been the source of glamour either. They've never had the glamour of the Hollywood people. The Hollywood people were emulating in the early days the glamour of the stage, because certainly Sarah Bernhardt and Barrymore, people on the stage that were great stars, and before films became well known, and so there were stars in show business.